time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Today's show is on our series, Awesome Animals, and there is no more awesome animal than the symbol of our country. It is the bald eagle. Cool bald eagle fact, the word bald actually is B-A-L-D-E in Old English, and that means white. So the settlers came here, they were calling him the white-headed eagle, so that's where it comes from. So today I'm going to talk to you about two great populations of eagles. I'm going to tell you, and I guess sort of reminisce back to my growing up days. The two populations are the Canada eagles, and then I call them the Delaware River eagles. And as we go through the scenario between the two groups, I'll teach you some really, really cool eagle facts. This show was brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So here's the deal. Along the Pennsylvania-New Jersey border, there is a population of bald eagles. When migration comes around in the fall, these eagles move out. And the reason why they're moving out, they're making room for the Canadian eagles. What happens in Canada is as the rivers begin to freeze, because eagles are fishermen, as the river freezes, the eagles then move themselves south. Next river freezes, moves them south. And the first river that does not freeze solid is the Delaware River. So the Canadian eagles in abundance are there. So, you know, there are places, if you ever wanted to see a specific species of animal during migration, you go to a place. If you wanted to see in abundance the bald eagles, you know, we'll be guiding people, taking them out, you know, family, friends, different birding groups. Here's the deal on this. I tell people on a bad day, we see three. On a good day, we see 33. And we've had days where we've had well over 33 eagles. So we've got this population coming down. Well, it doesn't matter the time of the year. You're going to look for open pockets of water because, once again, if eagles are fishermen, they need to find open pockets of water. So if you're going to be looking for a bald eagle, different than a golden, and we'll do a show on golden eagles, you're going to, in the wintertime, looking for an open pocket of water. So if you hike along, and I'll use the Delaware River as my example, if you hike along and find an open pocket of water, that is the only place the eagles can fish. So they will congregate there. So that's one of the things, so one of the hints if you're out there. And let me tell you, the wintertime hikes, and we snowshoe across, the wintertime hikes are so enjoyable because we're talking about the peace, the serenity, because most times you are the only people, you know, you and your group, that are out there. You know, we'll bring in our backpacks. We'll bring some our backpacking stove, some really hot foods, get out in the wild. It's just a real great thing. And I'm sure you know that this show is brought to you by Tranquility Mountain Backpacks. Have you seen the Joey B Signature Series? Well, you should. Go to TranquilityMountain.com. This is where adventures begin. Now, if you're going to go out and view eagles, we always say the safe distance is 400 feet. We want to give, all the time, we want to give wild animals a safe and respectable distance. You know, and in some of my shows, I've talked to you about the problems we have in Yellowstone National Park, which is my playland. I'm there all the time. And, you know, people get too close to buffalo. People get too close to moose every year. There are injuries. You're not going to outrun either of them. Well, with eagles, closer than 400 feet, they begin to get a little skittish, so you're going to scare them off anyway. Cool example of that is, one day we're going out, wintertime, it's my good buddy Dr. Dan, one of my friends, we call him Principal Mario because he is a principal, and the Featherman. And we were driving along Route 209, which parallels the Delaware River, so that we can actually see the eagles there. Sometimes they're roosting in trees, perched in trees. Well, we're driving along, and all of a sudden, someone sees an eagle right next to a tree, right next to Route 209. So we get out of my truck. We're crossing the road. We're trying to figure out exactly where in a tree, because, again, you're driving at a fast clip. And so we get out, and The Featherman is so close to him, he gets so excited, the only words that come out of his mouth is, wah, 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 and the eagle takes off. We were closer than 400 feet, and the eagle just decided, well, I guess it was a little bit of his wah-wahs that got the eagle to move on. Otherwise, we would have had a good up-close and personal look, and my zoom lens on my camera probably would have taken a picture of his eye. So with that said, let's talk about the characteristics of the bald eagle so that you can identify him, because there is a definite difference between the adult, and that's the one we always see as a symbol of our country, and the juveniles. So let's talk colors first. We're talking adults now. The color is blackish. It's brown on the back and the breast. So the adults become adults, and this coloration I'm going to speak to you about happens about age 4 to 5 years old. This is where his head, neck, and tail are white. This is where that, you know, the bald eagle comes in, the white-head eagle comes in. So it actually comes from that. Adults have a yellow beak and yellow feet. Very identifiable. So like when you're looking at them through a pair of binoculars, maybe you have a spotting scope, it is a great look at a real cool animal. Now, their height is up to 3 feet. So let me tell you, we're talking about a very, very large bird because their wingspan is up to 7 feet. So think about that. We're talking about a monstrous bird here. So now let's make that comparison over to juveniles. And we say that they have a mottled body. So they have a patchy brown and white body, and their beak's not yellow at this, you know, stage in their life. So a lot of times people will mistake a juvenile bird for some other bird of prey because they're going, oh, well, that must be a large red-tailed hawk. Well, guess what? He'd be the red-tailed hawk on steroids. And red tails are big, but there's no comparison between them. So now let's talk about how they hunt. So let's talk about all times of the year, and then I'm going to give you some winter hunting tips as well. Well, one of the things is, since they are fishermen, they're, you know, it could be summertime and you're out somewhere, and I'll give you a cool summer story in a little bit. And they are out hunting. They're going to be hunting, obviously, over water since they're fishermen. Now, watch how good. You always hear, oh, he's got an eagle eye. This is where the eagle eye comes from. They will be high above a river. They might be catching a thermal, so they're riding on the hot air. And they're looking down. And as they're looking down, they have to find a fish that's in the top 8 inches of the water, because with their legs and talons, that's how far they can reach into the water. And I'm going to say, you, maybe some of you have seen these on movies and things, but when you have seen it sort of up close and personal, and you have seen an eagle catch a fish, it is one of the more magnificent things to see out there in nature. You actually see him come down, talons, bang, and he's got it, and he's up with it. And really, I'm going to tell you, that's a pretty special thing, because he's going to take that fish, and most times he's going to go look for a perch somewhere where it's safe to go eat that fish. And I'll get into a couple stories with that. Now, if you're doing the wintertime hunting for these, it's a little bit different. So the first thing I'm going to talk to you first now is about ice safety. Because people always say, oh, look at that, the ice is safe, and I see him walking on the ice, and I see him ice fishing. Well, my buddy Dr. Dan is a very large guy. When I say large guy, I don't mean in a negative way. He's a big, like 6'3", 240 type of guy. And we were walking on the edge of the ice one year. We're on the Delaware River, edge of the ice, and Dr. Dan breaks through. It wasn't deep. It was only about 3-4 feet. But the ice was about 5 or 6 inches thick, way thicker, because this is the thickness that you can actually drive a four-wheeler on, getting close to being able to drive a car on the ice, and it broke there because there's stress fractures. So I'm going to tell you, anytime that you are doing some wintertime eagling, make sure that you are safe. Dr. Dan, he actually just jumped out. He's very athletic, former teammate of mine growing up, super athlete guy. Another story for another day, but I'm sure he'll like to hear that here. Well, with wintertime eagles, they're very opportunistic. And they'll also, again, they're fishermen. They're going to look for those open pockets of water, but they look for carrion. Carrion is a dead animal. And the deal I always say in nature is this. If you have to use a lot of energy, that means you have to go get a lot of energy. So dead animals, they don't run too fast. And since they don't run too fast, and a lot of times many of them will die out on the ice. It might be a deer or a small mammal of some sort. And the eagles will go down and pick the carrion. And if they can actually carry a piece, once again, they're looking for their safety. So if they can carry a piece up to a tree, a perch somewhere, a rock ledge, they're going to head there. But if they can't, they now need to protect the food from other eagles. And they do this really, really cool display. It's called mantling. And they will actually take their wings. It's funny, as I'm describing it right now in the studio, I'm raising up my arms like I'm mantling. And they actually raise their wings. Remember, they're 7 foot wide. And they just keep moving their wings while they're feeding with their wings spread wide. And so this way, another eagle cannot come down and steal food. Because stealing in the wintertime, stealing all the time for eagles, but stealing specifically in the wintertime, because once again, if I don't have to use energy, if I could steal from you. So this mantling process, and once again, it is a very cool thing to see. We've seen it over and over. And now let's talk about what I call my eagle paranoia. There was an eagle, he's got a fish, flies up to the trees in his wintertime, and he's got it in his talons, and he's feeding on it. And another eagle flies into the same tree on a branch right next to him. And all of a sudden, the eagle holding the fish drops it because he's just nervous. But for whatever reason, he lets go. And now it's like two eagles looking at each other, looking at the fish, looking at each other, looking at the fish. And they're almost saying like, oh, who's going to go get it first? Who's going to get it first? And it was this like paranoia between the two eagles. Believe it or not, when you're doing that, if you've ever been nervous, I'm probably the only person in life who's never been nervous. But if you're a little bit nervous, you're using energy. And then one eagle goes down to get it, and the other eagle tried to swipe it from him, but it didn't work. And I have seen this numerous times. Now watch how awesome this happens. I'm an eagle. I've got a fish in my talons, and I am flying in midair somewhere. So I'm flying. And as I'm flying, I have seen other eagles come, fly after him, flip upside down in midair, never break stride, and take the fish from the other eagle. So here I am holding this fish in my talons, and unaware, some guy comes up behind me, grabs it, and runs while they grab it and fly. But that is also commonplace to see. So if you're looking at an eagle flying in midair with food, take a look to see if there's another eagle in the area, because you might see one of the greater displays that are there. And think about this. There are predators that sit on top of the food chain. So I'm going to turn you from the wintertime now over to summertime and give you a cool story because, once again, this is a place where I grew up. So my cousin Pat and I, we are summertime. We're fishing. We're in our waders. We're in the Delaware. And while we're fishing there, there is a eagle on a rock ledge. So on the other side, Route 209, there's a huge rock ledge that extend up. And an eagle takes off from the ledge and calls. And what it was the adult, and there was a nest up there, was calling for the baby, and that's called a fledgling, for it to fledge for the first time, to get it to fly. It was calling and calling, and all of a sudden, you see the fledgling take off, and he's flying for the first time. So cousin Pat and I, all excited. Here's the deal with me. I want to get out to nature. I want to see all these great things. I could be fishing, and all of a sudden, I'm looking at eagles. Fishing has no bearing about me being out in the wild. So while we're looking at this, and there are some canoe rental places up there. Two canoes come down, boyfriend, girlfriend, and they pull off next to us. And one guy says to me, hey, what are you looking at? And I said, look, there's some eagles up there fledging for the first time. I'm giving an explanation as I hand them the binoculars. Pat hands the other guy a pair of binoculars. So that's what outdoor people do. We share as much as we could. And one of the girls says, why in the world would you look at something silly like that? Well, I just said, well, it's a symbol of your country. You might want to. And she could care less. Again, it was just this renter person of a, you know, she could care less about the eagle. And the other two guys, the other gal was a little bit interested, but the other two guys were so intent on it. And, you know, off they went. And then Pat and I obviously relived her comment. And to this day, we relive her comment very many times. But yes, it is a symbol of our country. So let me give you a couple cool bald eagle facts. First one, they're diurnal. Diurnal means they're out during the day. And people say, I got that one. But these next two facts are pretty neat facts. First one, in the wild, they can live up to 30 years. That is amazing because the next thing is, when they choose a mate, they choose the mate for life. So even though they may migrate somewhere and go to a place, when they choose to have a family, they're pairing up with the same mate they chose. And they come back and they build a nest on top of where they had their nest the year before, unless it's their first year. And very recently, I was out biking along the DNR Canal, and I knew it was eagles, and they were first-year mates because I was looking at their eagle nest, and their eagle nest they were building was brand new. So I could tell that. We have seen eagle nests that are over 1 ton, because what happens is you're mating, and then you're coming back, and you rebuild on top of it, and you rebuild on top of it. And this one was on a rock ledge. So it's amazing to see that, number one, they mate for life, but they use the same nesting area. And I always talk about eagles as they're going green. You know, what do you mean going green? Well, they don't use a lot of energy. So they use the thermals. They'll look at for that hot air rising, and you can't look for it. They can actually feel it, and they'll rise up on it. And the reason why they're near rock ledges, mountain ridges, is there are updrafts, winds that go up the sides, and the eagles will actually use those updrafts to get themselves. So the key deal, and I said this before, if you use less energy, you don't have to go get more energy. So it's a simple way to survive. So I was that Cousin Pat story I was telling you about where we were watching them up on that rock ledge. Well, years before that, I'm with the Featherman and we're out there. I'm fishing. He's doing a little birding because, again, if you're the Featherman, you should be birding. And the story of that day is this. So here I am in the Delaware, same place, by the way, because it's one of my favorite fishing spots that I was with Cousin Pat at the Featherman. And he goes off and he goes inland a little bit and he's birding. So I'm standing in my waders and all of a sudden he comes running down the hill and he runs into the river. Like in the river next to me. And like you could see he's panicking. And I'm going, Featherman, what's going on? He goes, I think it's a rabid coyote. I said, what? He goes, the coyote was chasing me. So the only way I could get away. And he ran into the river. Well, the coyote obviously decided not to run down the hill and into the river. That's not the Featherman story, but I just thought of that right now. So I figured I'd share that with you. I'm sure he's real happy that I shared that story on the show. Well, I was looking up at those ridge tops going, there's got to be a way up there. So one of the days we were out there, he and I drove a bit, and I found a hiking trail. And I said, this trail's got to lead up to those mountain ridge tops. So we actually hiked the trail, and we find a place that we call Twisted Tree. And Twisted Tree is because it was so cold up there, there was a microclimate, and there was a small little gnarled evergreen up there. And the cold weather had basically stunted his growth. So we called it Twisted Tree, but it was out looking over the valley and the river system, a spectacular view. And we had seen many, many different raptors from being up there just on that first day. So I had returned very many times. So my good buddy, Dr. Bob says to me, I want to go see an eagle. Bob, I said, I'm going to take you to the place where there are absolutely eagles. You're going to see one up close and personal. And Dr. Bob and I grew up together, so best friends. And you know, the best friends can always, you know, joke with each other, you know, break each other's chops a little bit. So all the way up there, Bob's going, you're guaranteeing me an eagle. I'm going to go. I said, Bob, I've never lied to you in the past, except for the many lies I did to him because he's my best friend. I said, I've never lied to you in the past. Well, we get up there, we sit at Twisted Tree, and we're there about 2 minutes, and Bob goes, so where are the eagles? Come on, where are you promised me an eagle. And while he's saying that, an eagle sails by because they're riding those up drafts. An eagle sails by maybe 20 feet from us, a full adult. So the white head, white tail, yellow eyes, yellow feet. And you just see his jaw drop. It was, for me, up close and personal because the eagle knew that he was safe at that distance. So it was just one of the more, again, I use the words magnificent quite a few times because this was one of the more magnificent sights. So remember the bald eagle. He's a symbol of our country, our freedom. As he flies freely in the world, so do we as patriotic Americans. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.
Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure.
That was awesome.